Are you ever going to be able to get a fucking camera and then we can actually be on camera together?
I do. I literally have one sitting over here.
Jesus Christ.
So, but like...
Oh, shit again.
I mean, we can be on... I have a...
Internet doesn't work.
What?
Yeah, I've heard that before.
That's not what I said. I think... okay, well, you start us off and I'll get into something here in a second.
Okay.
Let me get a little sip ski of my beer and go to the bathroom.
Sip ski of the old beer ski.
Too predictable. Oh, fucking cock.
Hold on, shut up. What's up, everyone? Welcome to this week's episode of the Big One Podcast. I'm your boy, New Guy, and joining me today for the first time this week is Mr. B-Boy himself. How you doing, B-Boy?
I'm pretty good. I didn't like that intro, though. Let's just go back and do it again.
Okay.
No, I'm just joking.
What's up? Oh, okay.
Welcome to the podcast, Big One, where we talk motorsports, mostly NASCAR, but today we got some F1, we got silly season news that goes across multiple sports, all kinds of fun stuff. Yeah, we're a straight-up motorsports podcast these last couple weeks. It's been good stuff.
That's cool. Look at us. We're growing and maturing. How have you grown and matured this past week, B-Boy?
I think I've grown an inch in the past week.
That's probably really unhealthy.
Yeah, I should stop going to the stretcher and then letting them stretch me out.
Yeah.
No, I just got my spine realigned.
Oh, really? Nice.
Yeah.
I figured out some stretches to help with my bad posture and my neck pain, and it's actually helped out quite a bit.
That's awesome. Yeah, I think I've had neck pain since I did a red eye last week. It was awful.
Man, we sound old.
Yeah, we do.
Neck problems is... That's how we're starting off the podcast.
Welcome to the Old People Show. Podcast.
Coincidentally, this week's episode, unless you have a sponsor.
No, I'll let you go.
It's brought to you by Neck Pain. Tried to not get this sponsor, but here we are with both of us.
Neck Pain, you've got it.
Neck Pain, you've got it.
I was going to do this Jack Link's jerky found.
You wanted to talk about it, so why don't you go ahead and tell the good people that are listening about your
I just wanted to talk about this single... I don't even know where this came from. It's a single serving size package of Jack Link's jerky that apparently was copyrighted in 2017. So it must have come from 2017, I guess. And then, it expired in 2019. So I'm gonna eat it and see if I get a bellyache, and that will be part of the suspense. That's why people will stick around to the end of this podcast.
That's exciting. Yeah, that's quality content.
Let's see. I'm opening it up. Can you hear me crinkling the bag?
Ooh, crinkle, crinkle.
Mm-hmm.
Kris Crinkle.
Oh God.
So.
No, it doesn't look good. I'm not gonna eat it. Oh, God.
Oh, boy. That was exciting.
It was exciting for a second.
Wow, I was on the edge of my seat, truly.
Yeah, they have one of those like little freshness packets in there. I'd rather eat that than the looking of that jerky. That jerky
Yeah, how about you eat one of those and we can see whether or not you get a stomach ache?
Yeah, that sounds good. That sounds good. I got Tom's next to me, too, so it can, you know, counteract.
Perfect.
It's like a Red Bull vodka.
It.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think so. We were at Atlanta this week, weren't we?
We were, yeah, my home track, and it's funny because I literally, like, left Atlanta on Thursday to go somewhere else and then came back to Atlanta yesterday. So I just kind of left instead of going to the race. And I'm sad. I'm sad that I wasn't there for it because it was a pretty exciting race.
Yeah, that's a damn shame, Brian. I'm disappointed in you, but I'll give you some opportunities to make it up to me.
All right.
How did you like the race? How do you think it compared to last time?
I want you to give me your recap on the race, actually.
Well, I think, as you know, because we talked about it earlier, I didn't see a huge amount of it. I did see towards the end, and yeah, man, it's some fucking pack racing.
Yeah, man.
That's kind of cool to see at a track that is not your Daytonas, your Talladegas.
Speaking of neck pain, right? Looking in the rearview mirror a lot, big ass spoilers, can't go below the old line. It's straight up a speedway race now, but the mile and a half, I think, like, what I saw some comments on it, and just like people, like, I think the drivers really like it. I mean, there's definitely drivers, especially driver owners, that are not happy about it because they wreck a lot. But overall, like, they said it just basically everything develops like four times faster than it does at Daytona or Talladega. Like, you just have to make your moves much more concretely, kind of thing.
Nice. I dig it. I did see my prediction. My boy, Pretty Ricky, you know, he either crashes out or he wins, and he did, in fact, crash out this time.
He did.
Who is surprised? No one.
Overall, the Cup race was definitely, like, way better than the Xfinity race. You know, there's always a potential when you go to these kind of racetracks that they're just going to ride in a line and freight train for a lot. But I just think the Cup cars, even though, I mean, people were not handling well right off the bat. Cindric started up front because the qualifying had been rained out, and he dropped all the way back to, like, 30th right off the bat. Kyle Larson almost lost his car a couple times right off the bat. The handling mattered here a lot. But if you had a pretty good handling car, and obviously, you know, slightly wider tires than we had last year, more contact patch and everything, just the cars are so much better in the draft than the Xfinity cars are. And so, therefore, like, they can run side-by-side for a lot longer, even with slightly ill-handling cars, which is great. Some of the events that I wrote down here is, I thought it was interesting that Christopher Bell lost a tire in pit road. It was immediately after he had, like, lost a tire on the track, and so he had come down and then pitted, and had no reason to, like, speed through the pit stop at all, right? Like they had lost time, they weren't racing anyone off the pit lane, and yet they didn't get the left rear secure. He starts driving, the wheel falls off, but because, and this is the new part of the rule, because it happened in pit lane, no suspensions. And I didn't realize that. I think we were talking about it day of, or texting about it, and I was like, I thought he lost his tire and that was going to be the suspensions. What was even more hilarious about all of it is the car that, as he's losing his tire, is on his inside trying to go by him on pit lane, is Bubba Wallace. And notice that this is a week. This is literally the first week that they switched those pit crew members that would have been suspended for this. And it was literally the Jackman who got switched over, who dropped the car too early as to why. I mean, like, the tire changer knew he didn't have the tire tight. He tried to, like, shout and stuff, but the Jackman already dropped the jack. And so I think it's hilarious that Bubba was probably looking in his rearview mirror and just being like, what a fucking joke. At least it's not my joke this week, you know? So.
Yeah, man. That's crazy. I really wonder what's going to happen with that pit team. I mean, like, if they are just fucking up across every driver they're working for.
Yeah, there's zero chance. Yeah, there's no chance I'm not leaving that Jackman in Atlanta, and he's got to find his own way back to Charlotte. Like, there's no way he's hired or still has a job on Monday, in my opinion. I'm ruthless. I'm ruthless.
I mean, we're friends, but if you were that Jackman, I'd can your ass six ways to Sunday.
Yeah, I'd give you neck pain.
No. Neck pain, you've got it.
I thought what was interesting, too, was it was mostly the same folks at the front. Daytona and Talladega have an interesting kind of dynamic to them. In with these newer cars in the last bunch of years, track position does matter, but you can always go three wide, right? You can always make a line up somewhere else and end up screwing up another line, and so you can make bigger runs and go from, like, 20th to first in a couple laps. Like, that's possible. Here, not so much, because it's really hard to do three wide. Three wide is just not something you can maintain, and so therefore it's two lines, and so you're either pushing and you're in line, or you need to wait until you're behind everyone else, and there's just no way to, like, drastically move forward. So for the majority of the race, it was mostly the same folks running up front. not by, you know, means of, like, they were the fastest cars or anything, but just because that's where they started, which I found really, really interesting. It wasn't something that I noticed when I was in Atlanta last for the spring race.
Huh. Yeah, I wonder how much that was the case in the spring.
It probably happened there, too. I just, you know, I was drinking and you know, and maybe had an edible and was having a good time. And
A story as old as time.
For sure. So I did find it interesting, though, that those strong performers, because of, you know, they were racing together, eventually, you know, pit strategy and things like that, they were racing together a little bit further back, and they all got taken out. So even when I say strong performers, I don't necessarily mean that they were obviously the best cars, but they had been leading the pack for the most part. And so when they got taken out, all of a sudden, here's a bunch of, you know, lower end teams. There's McDowell's up there and Corey LaJoie, who had a shot at a win there.
Man,
so
that was cool.
Yeah, so you love to see that kind of thing open up for these drivers. You know, one thing I didn't actually put in our notes, but Ross Chastain wrecked Hamlin. again.
Yeah. I saw that. Oh my god. Yeah. I think I said to you, like, that Hamlin is definitely taking him out in the playoffs.
Oh yeah. At this point, it just graduated from I might take you out, like, before the, you know, regular season's over, to like, no, I'm waiting until the playoffs till I have a bad day and you're having a bad day. Straight up Matt Kenseth style, you know. Yeah. Which is going to be hilarious. And Ross deserves it. I mean, this yeah. one was almost, it was probably the worst one, because in Atlanta, it's so easy to drive. You're just flat out the whole time. I mean, you're lifting, so you don't slam into the guy in front of you, and you're just a little bit of dragging the brake and stuff like that. But in this case, he was on the inside. He got in a little hot, started washing up the track, and he just didn't lift. In that case, you have to lift.
That's
inexcusable. You want to maintain your momentum, of course, but not at the expense of wrecking a guy. That's just insanity. Like, that was easily the most bonehead move he's made so far this year. A lot of the other stuff you can just chalk up to aggression, and this, I guess you could say, is aggression too, but it was just dumb. It was just bad racing. And he ended up finishing second. And you know, basically side by side with Chase Elliott when the caution came out, so like almost won. So, kind of ridiculous. So,
it's something he's definitely gonna have to grow out of. He's really he's a mess. It's really interesting how he is really. You know, it's interesting, like, how it seems like when Keselowski was doing, you know, being an aggressive driver. Like, people didn't love him. Joey, you know, people didn't love him. But Chastain, he does it with a smile on and, like, a goofy, like, he's just very sweet. And, like, he doesn't seem to have any malice behind any of it. And so it's, like, it's an interesting dynamic where he's causing all these troubles. He's wrecking all these people, but he's doing so with a smile on, and it's kind of hard to not love him.
Yeah. Well, and Dale Jr. said it, and he said it in his podcast, and then obviously had the chance to say it during the broadcast, too. But he was just like, he needs to change, but I don't want him to change, which is exactly what I agree with. Is like, to Ross, and Justin Marks is going to embrace this as well, is he's just like, the only reason that Ross has won two races, Hell Coda, was because he got pushed around, and he pushed back, and he won. Right? So, like, this is what has made him have this chance. He's the kind of guy, you know, again, that raced with Ganassi in the Xfinity series, and DC Solar went under and got investigated or whatever, and that whole team folded, and he had no ride. Then he goes to Nice Motorsports, which is, like, an underfunded team and truck, and because he was overly aggressive, he got good finishes. That team got more money, got more funding. He competed for a championship. Then he went to Xfinity with Colleague, did the same thing, overly aggressive with an underfunded team, got his chance. And then when Kyle Larson, you know, was suspended, they took a chance on him with Ganassi in Cup, and same thing. The only reason Kyle Larson ever won in a Ganassi car was because he was overly aggressive. The only reason Ross Chastain showed that he belonged in Cup was because he was overly aggressive. So it literally, you know, reinforcement, I forget what that's called, where, like, you know, children learn things by it being reinforced.
Positive reinforcement.
Positive reinforcement. Yeah, so it's every single time he's done it, it's paid off. And so, like, even with these couple mistakes, he may not have won at all this year if he wasn't this aggressive. So, it's working.
Yeah, that's a good point. You know, I think, I was listening to the F1 podcast I listened to, and they were discussing how Sergio Perez, who drives for Red Bull, which is like the best team right now, was sort of that guy who would drive for middling teams and drive in a really aggressive fashion and get way more out of the car than you would expect someone to.
Mm-hmm.
But now that he's driving for Red Bull, like this past weekend, like he crashed out really early on, and that's a result of him, yeah, driving super aggressively, trying to make a pass on someone that he would have been able to pass like in a non-risky way, like a couple laps later. But just by nature of him, yeah, him having to be aggressive to get to that point means that he's got some things that he needs to unlearn to be able to progress beyond where he's at now.
Yeah.
I think that Ross Chastain is probably in a similar spot.
Absolutely. Yeah, agreed. Talk a little bit more about kind of the finish here, away from the Ross Chastain incident. Corey LaJoie leads late. He actually had a really great restart, got to the lead. Then there was another caution, got to restart in front of Martin Truex Jr. Keeps choosing the bottom, which was a little interesting because I think a lot of the folks that were the control car kept choosing the outside. Kept working for him, though. He jumps out in front of Martin Truex Jr., and then Chase Elliott's actually second, or now third in line on the outside row. Kind of like Chase makes an aggressive move on Truex and kind of like knocks him wide. And so he gets to second in line on the outside line. And Corey LaJoie has an opportunity essentially to aggressively block Chase. He chooses not to. He stays to the bottom. Chase gets by him. Two to go. He knows he's going to get another shot. He gets a really, really good push from the one car, from Chastain, and it about, like, jacks him up. Like, the way the push that he got, actually, it might have been the 43 Eric Jones, but anyway, the push that he got kind of, like, jacked up the car a little bit, because you could tell that he wanted to jump inside going into that corner, and instead of being able to get into that corner, he has to go up high, and when he goes high, basically, Chase gets to throw the block that Corey did not, and kind of walls him. I mean, there's you know, a difference in inches here where you either get the block in time and the guy hits you in the very back of your right rear, or and on the back panel, or he gets to beside you enough that you actually kind of wall him, right? So it wasn't technically a walling because he wasn't beside him, but it essentially was a block where, like, Chase gave him no space to run up there, and he had to just brake or wreck.
Yeah.
And then I think the difference for Corey and what he might do the next time, if he gets put in that position, is just slam into Chase. Like that.
Yeah.
If he didn't continue to kind of avoid Chase and continue going to the wall, he probably is sending Chase spinning down the track and ends up leading and winning that race. And so that's, I think, like when, even when I was upset about it in the beginning, I was just like, you know, I don't know what the right etiquette should be for these guys that are champions, have won races this year against an underfunded team. I feel like you should just let them get to the outside there and see if you can beat him. Because, like, honestly, Chase could have gotten a push and gotten back by him again. And that would have been really exciting to see. But by making that move and essentially walling him, Chase just gives no chance to this small team that, you know, a win would have meant everything. I mean, Corey LaJoie's podcast is called Stacking Pennies, and it's because that's what that team has to do. Like, they don't have a chance, hardly ever. And so,
oh man, so close. Yeah. I wonder if he is beating himself up over that, but you know, it's the type of thing where you know, freaking car is blocking you and you need to instantaneously decide that, I'm going to wreck my car. I'm going to deliberately get into a crash right here.
Yeah.
And especially with a team that doesn't have that much money.
Tough and
times.
There is a partnership too between Corey LaJoie's team and Hendrick. So, like, maybe, I don't know that factors into the decision making at all in that very moment, but, like, you know, I think at the end of the day, he's not that upset about it. He thinks he'll be back there. I think he wants... I think this is the kind of stuff... Like, he spent all week now doing interviews. I see NASCAR's got him doing things. I mean, he's got his podcast. Probably he's getting a lot of buzz. These are good. Mm-hmm. These are good for him individually as a driver, even more so than just him for the team, right? It's good for the team, too. But him as a driver, I think this demonstrates that I'm doing so much with so little right now, right? And just in the same way that Ross Chastain kind of got himself to a top-tier ride, he may be able to fit into a spot, which we'll talk about in a second, that may be opening up in 2024 in a pretty good Chevy ride, that gives him a next opportunity to be aggressive. He's on the older end. Like, I think he's about 30 years old. So, you know, it feels a little late to be able to get one of these shots. But if you can continue to prove it like this, you show up in another race or two, get a top five or two.
Like, I mean, have you seen that hair as well?
Oh, it's glorious.
Are you kidding me?
And just flow. The nicest guy. Just the nicest guy. I mean, honestly, that guy's amazing.
Bring back the beard car. This is what I feel like.
He's the kind of guy that we need in our sport. It's so good that we have. You know, it reminds me a lot of, like, you know, in college football and stuff, there's guys that are transferring in and out of schools every other year now, just because they're sitting behind a guy that's more talented than them. Instead of waiting their turn, they transfer. He's the guy, like, literally in NASCAR, he's the example of someone waiting their turn. And, you know, sometimes that sign your own death warrant, but when you put your skills to the test week in, week out, and eventually you get to show people how good you can be, you will get that shot. And I firmly believe that. So,
yeah, let's freaking go, Corey.
Chase becomes the first three-time winner this season. It's crazy that it's this late to finally have someone win three races. And then he was already leading in points, so he leads by a little bit more. He was already leading in playoff points, so he leads by a little bit more. Chase right now looks like the only driver, as we talked about in a past broadcast or podcast. Chase is the only driver that actually looks like he might have an advantage in the playoffs. Everyone else is so even, like, it's next to nothing, you know, between them. So, hey,
Let me ask you a question. Mm-hmm. Who do you think gonna win at this point? Who do you think gonna win championship?
Well, it's probably easier to give you my final four, and it's probably Chase and Ross. Who's gonna win?
Who's gonna do it?
It's hard not to pick Chase. I'm going to go with Larson. I think Larson's under-the-radar consistency is going to get him through to the Final Four, and that at Phoenix, they're going to show up. So,
okay.
Yep.
I'm going to do cursed pick and say Joey Logano. Kidding. It's Suarez.
Suarez? That would be amazing. Yeah.
Okay.
That'd be really cool. That'd be sweet, so. Cool. I think we've covered Cup pretty darn well. Let's talk about trucks. We're over at Mid-Ohio. They were running the road course this weekend. Trucks at road courses are just so much fun. Like, they really just, like, manhandle these cars. Mid-Ohio's a little different. It's a little technical. It's more like an IndyCar-suited track than it is, like, a truck or a stock car-type track. But either way, it was still a really good race. I definitely enjoyed it. Parker Kligerman gets the win. Parker only has raced in 8 races this year. He's not racing in full schedule. It's not Parker's first win, because he actually won back, I think it was like in 2017, I think, and in back in like 2012. He's just a guy that's been around for a long period of time, but doesn't ever get the full-time rides. So it's a big win for a small team. You know, we almost got one on Sunday, but we got one to start the day on Saturday, which was pretty sweet. So, good win, Parker Kligerman.
Bless up.
Xfinity race was right after that. At Atlanta, like we said, it was a lot of freight training in that one. They're just not as exciting. Quite a few wrecks there, too, even though they were freight training a lot. but overall, Austin Hill ends up winning the race. He drives for RCR in the Xfinity series. And, you know, he's the guy. He's the guy that's from Atlanta, that gets his home track win, you know, that didn't get a hometown visit by Rutledge during the whole broadcast. Did you see any of that stuff about the Atlanta broadcast?
No, not really.
So, like, Rutledge Wood, one of the broadcasters for NBC, they keep sending out you know,
yeah, he was at the... I did see. He was at the pool hall.
Yeah, he was at the pool hall, which is, you know, basically it's 10 minutes from where I grew up. It's a shitty place. Like, let's be serious here, okay? This is Brian's rant of the day, okay? The pool hall sucks ass, all right? All the food there is trash. Like, it's just awful. It's not good. And it doesn't have much charm to it. If you go in, there's a bunch of little like NASCAR, pictures on the wall. Oh, Bill Elliott, now Chase Elliott. That's it.
Get
up. It's like if I went online and found a bunch of pictures of race car, of the race car drivers that I like, and just put them on the wall, and then spray paint a bunch of dust onto everything, onto everything, and then I go to make a burger out of just like the shittiest patty you've ever seen. Oh, I spit on it a couple times. I maybe rub some shit in it, and then I serve it to you. That's the pool hall.
Oh no.
And then
so much trouble.
Neck pain. The pool hall's got it. Yeah, it's a shitty place, dude. And then I thought it was funny because I've never actually seen the siren go off. Like I've never seen that. Mm-hmm. But they show it on the broadcast, and they've got it hooked up to some dude's battery of his car. It's not even like a switch they flip. It's not even ready to go. What rules. The hell?
That's actually cool.
That's
that actually
so weird.
I have a lot of time with. Hold on, I'm actually gonna. Okay, this is a new guy's rant. You guys ever sometimes have Brian say something that's bad and then you're like, no, dude, that rules. Because that rules. Okay, that's the end of my rant.
Okay, so that's the part that you like?
Just the battery.
Okay.
Yeah. Using the car battery, that rules.
I just thought it was
sounds like it sucks.
It's so weird. It's like this like staple of this place. And they're like, oh, Jim's got to bring his truck over. You know, like, what the fuck
is
that?
There's something quaint. There's something quaint and dumb about that.
Yeah, you know, they're not even ready to go.
Quaint and dumb about that.
Anyway, Austin Hill wins a home driver, his home track as well. It's pretty cool. And Austin Hill, again, RCR driver. I think that brings us into a nice silly season update. Big fucking news of the day yesterday about midday dropped. I know I dropped everything. I was like in a meeting and I was like, oh my God, I like had to fucking leave the meeting. It was too big a news. I couldn't stand it. Tyler Reddick has signed with 2311 Racing for the 2024 season.
Wow.
So not this upcoming season, but the season after this. It's big news, with it comes a ton of questions. Like, what the fuck does that mean for Kurt Busch and Bubba? Are they going to go to three cars? Is someone going to retire? I know what these are the things that have been said, and what reporters have kind of like inked out of 2311 is both of those drivers, Bubba and Kurt, are back next year, and Kurt has a ride as long as he wants one. That's it.
Okay.
No.
Cool.
No, I didn't see anything about that about Bubba. So I feel like if anyone is going to lose a ride, it might be Bubba. But I also think Kurt's the kind of guy that like he's probably in his mind thinking like, you know, maybe next year's the last one. And here's an opportunity to give a seat over. I think the only way that Kurt stays around, he's just too nice of a guy. He's not going to like have Bubba get kicked out as a young driver for him to stick around another year or two, you know? But I think the only way Kurt stays around is if they add a third team, which comes with it. Where do you get the charter for said team? Do you run it without a charter? I don't know. Do you know about how the charter system works or anything?
They would have to buy like a charter off of another team or lease it off of another team.
Exactly. But do you know like why a charter is important?
What do you mean?
So there's 36 charters and there's 40 spots every week to race, right? So up to four cars can come and race without a charter. Why don't we get 40 people in a field?
Qualify in.
Yeah, and qualify in. But why don't we get 40 people at most races? We actually only get 36 of the chartered cars at most races because the chartered cars get a larger percentage of the purse. So it's not like the position, like, oh, if you finish dead last, you get $60,000 or $100,000 or whatever. It's like you get $100,000 if you're chartered. And if you're not, you get $20,000. And so it's a way for NASCAR to be like, are you serious about coming each week? You get a higher share so that you keep coming back. And I don't know that I even agree with the whole charter system, but essentially like running without a charter, I think people say it and they think like, oh, he just has to qualify in. That's not what it is. It's I'm not getting a bigger cut of the winnings when I do well.
Yeah, you'd need to make like fuckloads of sponsor money.
Yeah, exactly. And that's really tough to do. I mean, 2311 has a pretty good bevy of sponsors right now, and I think Tyler Reddick's going to bring a lot of the sponsors that he has right now from the 8 car over with him, but it's still tough. you need a charter, I think, to compete. So.
Yeah. Yeah.
The other thing, silly season wise. Okay. Sorry, real quick. Yeah, sure. I'm talking a lot. I know. You might have missed this. So like at the very beginning of the broadcast, while they're doing the pace laps, the guy, I forget the guy's name, the NBC broadcaster that does the play-by-play, but he gets to Almirola and he says, Almirola, who might be back next year, essentially. I forget what he verbatim said, but essentially he was like, he may not retire after all. And everyone's just like, what? Like, what information do you have that nobody else seems to have? And so, who knows what the hell that means, but, you know, we've seen this before where a driver's like, I'm ready to go, and then eventually the team's like, well, it's not a great season for us. There's no one to get to drive your car next year. You know, can you stick around? And so maybe it's one of those kind of things going on. Maybe, who knows, like, the fallout of Reddick signing a contract 2 years out might mean that they want to move on from Reddick and put someone else in the 8 car. The NASCAR contracts are also secretive. It's so hard to know who is actually signed in for how long and you know how much they're making or any of that kind of stuff. So there's a lot of stuff up in the air, I think, right now. Kyle Busch still hasn't signed his extension. I think that has to do with him not having a primary sponsor with M&M's leaving, not anything to do with him as a driver and his success. But silly season, man. It's silly.
Yeah, very silly. Okay, anything else about this race you want to talk about?
Nothing about this race, but I think it's time for my favorite segment. Well, it's not my favorite segment anymore, but it's time for Brian to bend the rules. Just real quick, stick with me here, new guy. My second rant of the day is just about...
Okay, yeah. Lay it on us.
My second rant of the day is about that I don't believe that the winner... Or the person that would be taking the checkered flag after a yellow flag checkered flag should be involved in that last wreck. If Chase Elliott blocks someone into the wall, which causes the accident to get the checkered flag early, I think they need to do a green-white checkered.
Okay. Sure.
I just don't... I don't think the person should be able to cause a wreck to end the race early.
Yeah. I agree.
So cool. Let's bend that. Let's
good rant. Yeah.
Let's bend that like a stiff Beckham. Neck. Oh, okay.
Yeah. We're at New Hampshire next week.
Ugh.
It's 301, and that's neat. You know, that's one more than 300.
Mm-hmm.
Xfinity is at 2:30 p.m. on Saturday. Cup is at 3 p.m. on Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
We've got 70 laps the first stage, 115 in the second stage, then 116 in the third stage, which does technically fulfill our criteria of all three stages having different numbers of laps.
Yeah, like barely. So it's because they did 301 because they're
weird. Oh, Brian, believe you me, I understand the math here. That shit I've got on lock. The whole one, that's a number. Anyway, Harvick has won 4 times here. Mm-hmm. Hamlin and both Busch brothers have won 3 times, so that's 6 wins across the Bushes. Brad Keselowski and Joey Logano, 2 times each. Did you hear my little burp sneak
out? That was a little one. Yeah, I liked it.
Yeah, it was very subtle.
Did you eat expired turkey?
Oh, no. No, I ate one of those silica packets.
Nice, even better.
I've just been snacking on those all day, man. My mouth, I feel so dehydrated.
Super dry.
Yeah, I had to do a spit COVID test. It took me an hour to get enough saliva. It was nuts, man. But I love that silica. Eric Almirola has won once. This is a fun fact. Go on, you found this. Share it. I dare you.
Okay, yeah. So nobody that has raced at New Hampshire... more than 2 times has finished on the lead lap every time, which is kind of crazy. I don't know that that's probably true at any other track. It's just a short track, so it's like it's hard to finish on the lead lap every time. And it's a really flat track. Like, honestly, the reason I went ugh when you said New Hampshire is because it's a boring ass race most of the time. It really is. It's just awful.
It's a super speedway, or is that from last week?
That's from Super Speedway. That's funny. Yeah, that was the Atlanta
thing. Good. I thought
super flat track, which is why Harvick has won here so much.
Stan Flat Stanley's mom.
Flat Stanley's mom? You'll have to
take that, Flat Stanley.
Mm.
Who are you picking?
Okay. You know, I feel like Harvick's the obvious pick with four wins, but I'm going to go with Martin Truex Jr., who's never won here, but has led the most laps out of anyone that hasn't won here.
Oh, okay. That's fun. I'm going to say that, let's see. Where? Oh, wow. I'm going to pick Denny the Hambone Hambone.
He's really good.
He's been pretty hot this year. Done well there previously. And I think he's just so frustrated from... I think he's going to rope Ross Chastain into helping him win. He's going to go over there, put him in a bit of headlock, and be like, hey, listen here. You got to make sure I win.
That would be really interesting, is like you get to Daytona right before the regular season ends, and you tell Chastain, if you push me to a win, all is forgiven.
Yeah.
That's really interesting. I like that. I think when I other people to pick here, I think Brad Keselowski showed a lot of speed in Atlanta, got caught up in a bunch of stuff and still, you know, powered through a lot of it. I think he's a pretty solid pick, having had so much success here before. I think Ryan Blaney, this guy just continues to be super consistent and is going to get his win eventually. And Penske's really good here in the last bunch of years. So, New Hampshire, could be the one.
Very cool. Very cool. Well, should we move on to talking about... did you watch this Formula One race?
I did. I enjoyed it.
Dude, we are getting just absolutely spoiled on these F1 races.
I know,
I also
right?
was able to get a few buddies together to watch it in person. You know, not be there in person, but we all hung out. I had three people watching it together. It was pretty fun.
Nice.
Man, it was such a good race.
It really was, yeah.
You got some notes about how you feel about this Max fans cheering Hamilton crash.
Yeah, I hate that. It's just bullshit. Max fans, I mean, they're the douchebag fans of the sport. They're like anyone that roots for Austin Dillon, since Max is kind of the Austin Dillon of the sport, except for with way more success, obviously. That's just bullshit. And it was literally a week after Hamilton, like after when Verstappen had trouble, Hamilton told the fans, like, please, like, be respectful, like, don't boo. And it's literally the next week. Like,
I feel like it's an interesting thing because, like, yeah, people are just so shitty in sport.
Yeah.
And Hamilton, like, there's, I think especially, you know, it's been an interesting thing to follow F1 a bunch and see that there are some places where, like, F1 is way more racist and way worse in terms of social causes than NASCAR. Like
Saudi Arabia?
F1 is not even remotely progressive. Like, NASCAR is drastically more progressive.
They try a lot harder.
F1
is. Yeah, for sure.
You know, it's this global affluent sport, but...
I mean, that's the same thing. Same thing with soccer and stuff, right? Like... it's the things that happen in, like, Mexico at the Liga games, and, like, wasn't there, like, the Liga MX game where, like, the opposing fans, like, beat the shit out of and killed multiple supporters of the other fan base? Like,
that sounds right.
That's the kind of shit that happens at, like, these events that are worldwide. So it's so crazy when you get here and it's just like, you know, let's not boo anyone. I mean, I like aggressive fandom, but I also just don't like anyone booing or cheering on someone's failure just because they're successful. Like, we hate Joey Logano because we don't like his personality.
Okay, yeah, yeah.
Not, we don't hate him just because he's successful, right?
Like,
he's a good driver.
He has a smile that reminds me of cruel people I've had in my life before.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, so like, it's super weird to me. Like, and maybe it's just because I was a Gordon fan growing up, so everyone booing him as a kid was just like, why are you booing him just because he wins a lot? Like, that seems so weird to me. Same with the Kyle Busch hate. I've never really understood it. I am fine if you hate Kyle Busch because he's a big whiner and crybaby. Like, that's fine. But I think, like, a lot of people just didn't like him back in the early 2000s just because he won a lot. So,
yeah,
you know, just I don't want to see that. But, yeah.
There were also some... Okay, so let's have a little look-see at this year's race itself. Again, incredible racing. This new spec of cars is superb. There was, like, a chain of five drivers racing. There was a driver getting overtake on two other drivers in one good corner because he caught them fighting against each other. Friggin' Haas was actually doing well this race. That was nuts. Apparently, they didn't even bring an upgrade pack. Like... Something just happened that led to them actually doing well. And it looks like Mick has his confidence now. So he was actually driving well. Like, what
he drove super well. Super well. Like, it's just so funny because, like, Mick, it's taken him, what, this is his third season. It's taken him this long to get his first points last week. And then this week, it's just like, oh, yeah, you know that career finish? I'm going to blow that out of the water. Like, no problem. Yeah, man. It's crazy.
It was, it was just, like, incredible racing. All weekend long.
But yeah, another Ferrari issue, taking out Carlos Sainz. Well, not an
that was
issue.
Scary,
yeah,
honestly.
It was. Yeah. But you know, it's a
engine. I would call it an issue. The engine literally blew up.
Yeah.
The engine literally blew up, Ryan.
I know.
And then he parked it, tried to park it on an incline, and it kept on rolling back when he was getting out, and the flames kept growing, getting closer to him.
That was
spooky.
Yeah, that was equally funny and, like, scary. Yeah. Like in the moment,
quality,
it was scary, but now when I go back and watch it, like, you could put the Benny Hill theme to it because it was kind of funny.
Yeah, him getting out okay, especially, yeah, the Marshall. Oh, my God.
We should do the who did it better gif between that and, like, Chase Elliott when he won at the Roval and is, like, standing and the car's drifting backwards and he's standing on the car.
Yeah.
Chase definitely won that battle. So Hamilton, another podium. I'm rooting the hell out. I'm just rooting for him so hard right now. So, like, every podium, I'm like, hell yeah. I mean, he's driving his ass off. And then Russell, another top five. Only one time did
Russell,
he finish outside the top five. And it was because he was being a hero.
Piece of shit.
And then, I thought it was cool to have both McLarens and the points. You know, sucks that that's got to be a rarity, but the last two seasons, I mean, mostly this season, it has been. I think this is only the second time that's happened this year, so.
Yeah. You know, I saw something. I've been seeing things about Danny Rick leaving, but I also saw something that I think that he said that he's got a contract.
He said something today.
Year.
So he's had,
racing next year.
So he has had a contract through next year. It's not an extension or anything. That's how the contract has been written. But there's you know, just like most contracts, there is an out. They could pay and kick him out and again get someone else. Or he could choose to leave and get that money too, I think. And so he basically just came out today, I believe, and said, no, I'm going to race next year. Stop talking about it. Like, it sucks that we... This has to be talked about because the performance isn't as good, but I'm committed. I'm putting in the work. Like, I want to be here and I want to be good. And so that's, I like that. I mean, you know, I at least, you got to try this year and next year. And if it doesn't shake out, it's time to leave F1 entirely, in my opinion.
Yeah, just go be the cool Australian in NASCAR.
Exactly. Need another Marcos Ambrose up in here. But I also thought it was hilarious. The other big McLaren news from yesterday. Which was that Alex Palou, who's the IndyCar champion from last season, drives for Chip Ganassi. Chip Ganassi Racing puts out a statement with an Alex Palou quote within it that says, we're excited to bring back Alex Palou on a like 3 or 4 year deal. And, you know, we're looking for... And then like it had the Alex Palou quote, which is like, I'm excited to... extend, and I am excited to go after championships with Chip Ganassi Racing or something like that. And then Palou puts out his own statement and says, that's not true at all. Actually, I'm racing for McLaren. And all hell broke loose. It's like, man.
So is that the IndyCar McLaren team?
Yeah, IndyCar McLaren, which is run by the same guy. What's his name?
Zach Brown,
yeah. Someone said, let's see a Zach Brown and Chip Ganassi cage match, put it on pay-per-view.
Oh,
and I'm like, those guys, they're like similarly built. I would love to see that. That'd be dope.
Yeah, that would rule.
It's wild. I've never seen something like that happen. Especially
and
with the
similar,
quote.
Something similar happening in NASCAR as well, where with the, it's Reddick that's switching.
Yeah, Reddick. Right? Yeah. But that was...
Yeah, I believe that his team tweeted that, like, that was, like, the timing on the announcement was terrible.
Yeah, that one wasn't nearly as bad because I think... And he even said then afterwards, he was like, look, RCR knew. Like, isn't a shock to them. Like, there's a reason it's taken this long for a hot driver to sign a contract.
It's different tiers of the same.
Yeah, yeah. It's definitely pettiness.
Sizes of the same flavor. One of them is a triple scoop, and the other one is a sand.
Yeah. There was definitely some pettiness just with the, like, if the timing couldn't be worse. Like, I want them to clarify that. Like, what does that mean? Were they trying to get sponsors for next year, and now they're like, well, now we're not going to get them? Because, like, I could see where that kind of sucks. Like, when you sign this far out, it makes it a lot harder for the guys to go out and secure sponsors for next year because they're like, this is like a one-year deal that we're getting into, right? It's a lot harder to do that. So maybe that's all they really mean by that. Or they just mean he just won. He's having this success here. He's going to go to the playoffs with this team, and then he announces he's leaving end of next season. Like, that's... It is. The timing is a little weird, but I think Denny's just a petty person, and because he like announced it kind of like surprisingly. He had Reddick sitting next to him and like on the edge of the table, and then was on a call with Toyota and media was there and stuff, and they were doing this like announcement, I guess of like that they're committed to Toyota and Toyota's committed to 2311, that kind of shit. And then he basically calls up Reddick on Zoom, and so Reddick's like holding his phone and has that like forehead shot, you know, going on. And then like he says it's a good time to announce that Reddick's joining 2311 Racing, and then Reddick like wheels his chair into frame, which is just the silliest way to fucking announce
awkward.
That.
It was kind of funny.
But yeah, I think Denny announced it like just because he was like, fuck it, he signed. Like, it doesn't matter. Not even thinking about like what he was doing to RCR. But the amount of names that could go into this RCR hat or like that could race that 8 car opens up a ton. I've seen people theorizing like Junior Motorsports is very interested in getting into Cup. Maybe they make a partnership with RCR and they get to bring up someone like Gregson. Gregson drives Bass Pro Shops car. Bass Pro Shops has always been aligned with RCR and Austin Dillon. There's so much aligning to that theory that I want to say that's probably what's going to happen. But hell, like, look at Petty GMS. They just formed a partnership. What if they joined up with RCR and ran a 3 or 4 car team very competitively? That could be really, really cool to see the, you know, Richard Childress and Petty Racing coming together. I think there's like just a ton of options. There's a lot of drivers.
A lot of options.
That could fill that
seat. For sure. But let's cut all this fucking theory crafting, Brian. I've got stuff I gotta do in a little bit. This episode is running long, and we've got rapid fire to get into. So why don't you take us on in there, big dog?
All right. Time for my favorite segment, rapid fire.
Okay. You know what? I'm going to start us off this time, if that's okay.
Let's do it.
Brian, I sit you down in a car, and you're in the driver's seat, and you look in front of you, and there's no wheel there. And I say to you, Brian, I'm not going to give you a wheel. What would you take instead to steer this car?
To steer the car?
I'm not the car. No, there's a car you're in.
I understand. I would take a really big adjustable wrench, like obnoxiously large, where like if I were to swing it, it would like hit the ceiling. I can only turn it so much. But yeah, I would just steer it on the one edge with the adjustable wrench. What about you?
That rules. Reins. Like a horse.
Reins would be really interesting. Can you imagine like how intense it would be to like be pulling like a little bit on the left and then a little bit on the right? Or like the rapid adjustments? Oh my god.
Friggin' get rid of the dang gas pedal and just let me rely on the friggin' hi-yah, hi-yah, hi-yah. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
That would rule. We're redefining racing.
Yeah, we really are. That's a new guy bends the rules. All right. Speaking of bending, are bad blocks only fair on the final lap?
Yeah.
So, yeah. Two to go? Come into the white flag? No?
No, that's stupid. Because you're causing so much damage and you're fucking up the race and... It's stupid to do it in a place where you're not going to get something out of it. Like it's like smashing a pie into someone's face like, if it's not going to be funny, then it's just a waste of a pie. You know what I mean? Like, mm-hmm. there needs to be some reward. There needs to be a game theory positive reward to it. And crashing someone on the last lap, like, that can get you a win.
Yeah.
But crashing someone any time before that, it's not going to get you a win. It's going to give you plenty of options. What are you going to do, keep crashing people on the second to last lap until there's no one left but you? Honestly, try it out. Let's see what happens. But
I think the qualifier I would make, and because I think you actually did just convince me, because my answer was not going to be this at all. But I think I agree now. It should just be the final lap. But actually, I'm going to qualify. It should be the straightaway coming to the white flag and the final lap. Because if you block someone there and then a wreck ensues, you're probably going to get across and get the white flag and end the race anyway. So it's sort of the same difference there. So I agree.
Yeah. Yeah. I see what you're saying. Yeah.
Hit me up, baby.
Give me the friggin' reins. Yeah, yeah. What do you think would be the result if next year we actually did just force teams to use, like, stock off-the-dealer lot cars to race with?
Like the cars that they're currently driving? Like the same makes and models?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Uh-huh. This is my serious question.
Yeah, I think let me think about this. Yeah, I think the Camaro would win. The ZL1 would win. It would be way better than the other two cars.
Yeah, I'm really curious how they would make it last till the end. You'd have to drive much slower.
Why? You don't think you could drive? I mean, obviously you can't drive the speeds that they're going, but you don't think you can drive one of those cars at Edge for 500 miles?
Maybe.
I think you could.
Okay.
Yeah.
Cool. I think that they should do it. I think they should do a special event where they basically just rip out the interior, replace it with safety roll cage, and then do a race with the actual stock cars.
Yeah. The order would be the ZL1, the Mustang, and then the Camry. The Camry would get smoked. It wouldn't even be fucking close.
I would fucking love it if the ZL1 and the Mustang just kept on blowing up every time, and then the Camry just
Camry kept winning.
The friggin' tortoise.
Yeah.
Be cool.
Yeah. All right.
Okay. Hit me.
Give me the reins. Should the top 5 in points be safe? And what I mean by that, safe to make the playoffs, like they automatically make it.
So you would take top 5 and then the remaining 11 that have wins and then points?
Yep. But some of the people, I mean, you have to assume that most of the people in the top 5 will have wins, at least 3 of the 5, if not 4.
So the only, yeah, I mean, like, interesting. I mean,
or maybe, I mean, like, what number would be good, like, makes this easier if it's top 3? Right now, if you do lead points at the end of the regular season, you don't have win, you're automatically locked in. So even if there's 16 guys that have wins, one of them won't be in the playoffs. That's just how it works.
You know, honestly, I don't think it needs to be touched, because if there are 16 winners in a season, like, kind of get fucked.
Yeah.
It would honestly, like, it would be weird. It would potentially be unfair, but the playoff situation, like, the playoffs existing on its own is sort of, like, unfair and just there for entertainment value. And if the system is already sort of set up for entertainment value, like, I'm here for a season where 16 people win and a guy, like, if 16 people got wins and Ryan Blaney didn't make it into the playoffs, like, that would kind of suck. But also, I wouldn't be that upset because he hadn't gotten to win the entire fucking season. So I kind of doubt he would in the playoffs, as he would need to progress.
But that's the thing is, like, you've shown by being, like, by leading points or something, you've shown that you are consistent enough to potentially even be a Final Four driver in the playoffs, you know? But, yeah, I see what you're saying. I think, like, not to bend the rules again, but basically I do think, like, maybe top 3 or top 5 should be safe. But what you can do is just add all the winners in. So say we have 16 or 17 different winners and you put in the top 5 and that adds 2 more. Okay, well, now we have 19 cars that are in the playoffs, and that just means the first round is going to eliminate 7 drivers.
Oh, I think that's fine. If it's additive, then sure.
Yeah, yeah. Well, that would be the way I would bend that rule, is say that it's
okay,
additive.
Okay, yeah. So if it's additive, then yeah, why not?
Yeah, yeah. I think it makes that first round super fucking exciting.
Yeah, that's super cool.
But yeah, so we are, just to point out, you're about to do the standings, and I'm excited about it, but we are really in this interesting spot where Ryan Blaney could potentially pass Chase Elliott for the points lead, and we could have three different winners that aren't him, and we could see a winner out because Blaney's in, you know? So it's possible.
Wow. It looks like we are now at the point where all of the winners are in the top 16 by points.
What? No, that's not true.
Am I wrong? Oh, wrong. Hold on. I've got this sorted by the wrong.
Well, Blaney's, okay, Blaney's second, wrong. So like, there's no, that okay. Can't be true. I'm wrong. But that brings us to the end of Rapid Fire.
And it sorted by the wrong thing. But conveniently, that brings us to New Guy Reads the Standings. Mm-hmm. And you know what? Let's dive into it. So we've got Chase Elias and hold on.
Wow.
Let me start over.
Let's just start the whole podcast over.
Yeah. What's up, everyone? Welcome to the Big One Podcast. Okay. First place, Chase Elliott with 684 points, followed by Ryan Blaney with 637. Ross Chastain in third place, then Kyle Larson. Kyle Busch, fifth place, 569 nice points. Martin Truex Jr., sixth place. Joey Logano, Christopher Bell, Alex Bowman, William Byron in 10th place with 505 points. Then Kevin Harvick, Eric Almirola, Austin Cindric, Tyler Reddick, Daniel Suarez in 15th place. And then Kurt Busch rounding out the top 16 with 449 points. However, Chase Briscoe and Denny the Hambone Hamblin both have wins. So as it stands right now, the two people in the top 16 that would not be making it in are Kevin Harvick and Eric Almirola.
Yeah. And Harvick.
Isn't that fun?
Yeah, Harvick's just 19 points out, so very, very exciting to see if he can actually overtake Christopher Bell for this. Christopher Bell now has a cursed pit team, so mm-hmm. You know, we'll see what happens.
Yeah. Fascinating.
Well, guess what, New Guy? That brings us to the end of another great episode of Podcast Big One. Probably our longest one probably of the year, I would guess. Lots to talk about. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, you know, a lot of good weekends of racing mm-hmm. and silly season.
Silly season's getting good.
We're
yeah.
truly in the thick of it.
Thick this. My neck hurts. All right, well, I've been B-Boy. Hey.
I've been New Guy.
Like and subscribe.
Email me.
Yep.
Bye.
Bye. I just noticed that we are straight up Blaney babes today.
Hardcore.
Please.
And I think that actually this is a good time for me to reveal that I went into the other room to...
Oh, no. Oh, no.
This,
you can't wear the same shirt as me.
Shirt that, thank you for your help.
Okay, yeah. We're just, we liked when Blaney was part of Wood Brothers.
Blaney boys.
We want that, yeah. These two Blaney babes.